Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Okay, I got something from my buddy Ron Burgess, a retired firefighter. That guy you were talking about who was swimming, he got sucked up by one of those helicopters that grab water for the brush giant fires.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, he was a scuba diver.
Oh.
Oh, no.
That still sucks.
Oh, it does.
Yep.
That's how they had to figure it out. There's like one piece of his gear left. It's like, oh, he's got a tank.
Right.
Was that an air tank for a... No, that's a scuba tank.
That's an aqua tank. It was playing his fins, too.
Yeah. He had no idea. Yep.
Oh, I'm sure they're... I'm sure if they dropped him in the middle of a fire, there's probably no fins.
No.
And there's probably no rubber...
Nope.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't survive.
That's a horrible way to go.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I think it's probably better off just holding on to that thing so you don't fall out.
I don't know if you could do that.
I don't know. I would imagine there's going to be some kind of way it's being held onto the helicopter, hold on to that part. It lets go of the water and stay, hold on to it. And then when it gets low enough, jump out.
Yeah.
And that's very Arnold Schwarzenegger's very action hero.
It really is.
Like, that wouldn't happen to Stallone.
Get off the chopper!
We got to get us to it.
Hold on to the chopper.
Hold on to the chopper. Hold on to why?
Oh, my God.
Yep. Okay, so it wasn't an urban myth that actually happened. Yes.
So I remember, can you imagine that guy walking around heaven? So, why in?
Right. I went to a fish fry.
I was scuba diving. Right? And the next thing you know, I was dropped into a forest fire.
Right.
Amazing story.
But no, it really happened. Look at the highlight reel. God's camera wasn't working that day. Oh, how convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Well, I would think the fall probably killed him. Rather than, you know, dying in the flames, he probably...
Hopefully.
Yeah, I'm sure he hit a bunch of branches the way down.
There's no preferred stage to die during this.
Yes,
there is. Either lose water in the tank, in the helicopter... Right. Or it's the impact from the drop, or it's the fire. Right. None of those are good.
Yeah. All of it's bad.
Nothing was working in his favor that day.
The only thing that would, if I had a choice in all of this, is I want to die by the crunch of the claw grabbing the water.
Immediately.
Boom, I'm done.
I don't even see it coming.
Yeah, I don't even know I left the water.
Right.
I'm just like, I'm dead before they pull me out of the water.
Right.
Ew.
I'd be like, my car's parked over there.
I can see my house from here. But if you don't die when the thing scoops you up, what do you think happened? Like, you're looking around, you're like, what is this thing?
I mean, it's like floating bathtub.
Phil, can you look up? I'm fascinated by this story.
Can
you look up how many gallons those things hold?
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a basket.
Right, so is he like, wow, I've been captured by a giant lobster boat or something of that nature?
Right.
What are you thinking?
Yeah, you're thinking like a bunch of Greek fishermen? Giannis sees me.
Chaz and AJ.
How you doing, Chaz and AJ? Listen, you keep talking about this scuba diver that was sucked up by one of these helicopters.
Yeah.
It's complete bullshit. It was busted by Mythbusters. It was proven complete wrong. It never happened.
Hold it. You're telling me that something AJ said was not true.
That's something your friend confirmed.
That's
something your friend is a
that's
firefighter
something
confirmed.
AJ saw on the internet. He believed as news.
You kind of got a point there. But no, it was completely busted by even Mythbusters. Look it up on YouTube.
Okay, we're going to do that right now. Thank you. This keeps getting better.
Wasn't your friend who also confirmed it?
Ron Burgess.
Yep.
That's right.
And he is a much more higher person than I am. He's a firefighter.
much more higher person.
Relax.
You know what was great about this as it unfolds? Is that you had a piece of information during this forest fire story. And I thought, that's fantastic. What a great contribution to the conversation.
Well, I mentioned the part about the whole thing with the sunset. That part was real and the smoke.
That was great.
Right. So that part was...
That was good.
Myth bust that one.
But you know what? All of that gets erased by this. Now, did we find out if that's a... fact checker?
Yeah. So I was... Yes. So Snopes has also proven this to be false. Sometimes it's reported to be a fisherman instead of a scuba diver. That's found
in the
tree.
You've been fact checked.
And the helicopters that to help fight wildfires can carry anywhere between 150 to 2,800 gallons.
Oh, wow.
2,800 gallons. How big of a tank would that be?
It's a big it's a big like scoop that they use.
Yeah.
Because the thump, they have the planes well, that fill them up.
This is a good day for Flubbles.
I'm just going to go home now.
No, stay, please.
No, I don't want to anymore. But that part about the smoke here was real.
It's good for you. Keep going back to that one.
That part was real.
I just want to know where you saw that. Do you remember where you read it?
We did it on Dumbass News years ago.
I don't think so.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
I'm the guy that gathers the dumbass news.
Mm. It'd be about 2,300 pounds of water. I'm sorry, 23,000 pounds of water.
Jeez.
In a 28,100 gallon tank.
Yeah,
what? Stupid numbers.
Does that look like, what does that look like? Does it look like one of those water tanks you drive through town and you like?
Looks like a pool.
Would it be a pool?
It's like a pool.
Oh, yeah, okay. My pool is 25,000 gallons.
It's like a pool. They have that thing, and they just scoop the water, and they can fly off, and they drop it, and then they reset it, and they go back in the water again. Is it 10 o'clock yet? You ever have a moment you want to throw a hammer through a plate glass window?
I'm trying really hard not to laugh.
That would be right now for me. But that's what they do. They scoop it up, they drop it, and then they reset the thing, and then they get more water.
Stop laughing. You're making me laugh.
One of you guys is swimming next time it happens.
Be the first time in history that's happened, though.
That's right, because it's never happened.
Hey, your friend the firefighter confirmed it, so.
And he's way up higher than AJ.
You're going to be a lot higher when you fly off the roof.
Colin on the road.
Yeah, morning, everybody.
Morning.
I just wanted the scuba diver. That was an episode of CSI in Las Vegas. In a scuba suit. And they were wondering how he got there, and turns out that was that's where they got the idea that he got picked up by the water helicopter.
We're going to check in to see when that episode came out. All right. Thank you, brother.
That was in the second season, CSI Las Vegas.
What year?
Mm.
Because they always take stuff out of the news.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's very possible that this was some myth created by someone long ago.
It's a great way to get a story for a show.
It got my attention when AJ said it.
Yeah.
2001.
Okay. Because Ron texted an apology. He said, I heard about it in Fire 1 class 20 plus years ago.
Okay. That's 20 years ago. Yep.
Yeah. John in Bloomfield.
Hello.
Wait, that is exactly 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I wonder if he overheard someone talking about, you see that CSI episode last night?
Right.
And he missed that part.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah. John in Bloomfield.
Hey, guys. Hey, I just wanted to let you know that one of the helicopters that does all that firefighting is made right here in Connecticut, and it's not Sikorsky.
Really?
It's called the Command K-Max.
And who makes it?
It's made by a company that I work for. We're called Command, and there's 11 of them right now fighting fires actively out in out west.
That's
and the
tremendous.
Bucket is
wow.
called a Bambi bucket.
What's it called, the Bambi?
Bambi bucket, yeah. It's just the name of the bucket.
Because you're trying to save Bambi?
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
But it ranges. The size of the helicopter essentially can lift anywhere from a small Bambi bucket to one of those large ones. It all depends on how big the helicopter is.
What's the largest one of your helicopters can pick up?
It can do about 1,000, 1,500 pounds. No, I'm sorry, about up to 6,000 pounds of water. So,
6,000? How many gallons is that?
It's a mid to large size Bambi bucket.
What size would that be? That's how many gallons would that be, rather?
Trying
to get a visual.
Like a pool.
I know my pool is 25,000 gallons because I know when I bring the water in for the test, I have to tell them that.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, it does about 5,000 to 6,000 pounds of water, and it drops them. The helicopters, especially ours, can drop them very, very accurately wherever they're needed. So wow. They'll be in contact with firefighters on the ground and say they need water in an exact place, and they'll come and then drop the water on it.
Who's at a backyard party somewhere? But they're all dressed up. Boof. Boof. Oops, sorry.
Yeah, on an ex's wedding or something.
You got to hand it to those firefighters out there and the guys flying those helicopters. They're amazing.
No doubt.
Fox 61 just did a bit on the KMAX fighting fires out there. So,
well, good for you guys. Did I already ask you what town are you out of?
Bloomfield.
Right.
And who's making the engines that power that can lift 6,000 pounds additional weight?
It's actually a pretty small engine. It's not very big. It's called the T53, and it's made by Honeywell.
Okay.
It's not a large engine. It's a little bit bigger.
One of those Briggs and Stratton's pull start. I've been on helicopters. I think I prefer a Briggs and Stratton.
Right.
Wow, no, that's...
It's a turbine, and it's pretty amazing. If you take a look at some of the videos, just the KMAX, Command KMAX firefighting, and you'll see some great stuff out there.
I'm going to look that up right now, and you think about moving 6,000 pounds through the air. If you get that swinging too much, you're done.
I mean,
it takes us.
Right.
It takes a good pilot.
Think about that, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that info, and thanks for...
Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
All right, man. Once in a blue moon, I say you have to see this video. Take a look at the moon. It's red, but you know what I mean? It's different, right?
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to see this video. It's on our Chaz and AJ Facebook page. I have seen a lot of videos for every story we do here. I have to see like 30 that suck. This one, I've never seen anything like it in my life.
It's amazing.
It's dashboard footage. People driving down the road, and all of a sudden you see what looks like a missile.
Yeah.
Coming over a ridge. It's a car.
Yep.
It's a car flying, and it crashes.
Nose down.
Nose down into the road. Rolls right in front of them.
Yep. Ends up in the middle of the street, upside down smoking.
And because they're like on a desert or something, there's this smoke trail coming out.
Yeah.
Very Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes.
It's very, yep. Well, it's basically Waylon Jennings.
It is... unreal. You have to look at it. It's on the Chaz and AJ page. Here is the audio from that dash cam.
I hope they wash my truck tomorrow. I just came. There's two more things I need to put on that list.
Oh my God.
911.
Where's the phone?
That guy's good. Like, immediately, just call 911.
Right. The kid in the back is annoying.
Of course. Is there ever a kid who you say, that kid's cute?
No.
All right.
You were a kid once.
But they escalate. Okay. Relax right. On that part.
Okay.
Oh, my God. 911.
You know, it's interesting. Remember,
it's a bobcat.
It's a bobcat.
What were they talking about right before it happened?
He's got to wash his car.
Right.
I gotta wash my car.
Okay.
Be careful.
Never say out loud you're gonna wash your car.
No, it's just, like calling Beetlejuice.
Just do it. Just wash your car.
Good morning. I gotta wash my car.
It's a bobcat. It's a bobcat.
Right. Now we have it's a flying car.
It's interesting.
Yeah. It's a bad year for washing your car.
It's God showing you. That car wash is not as important as you think it is.
No. Well, here's another car to wash. Hey, wash this one, too.
You think your car needs a wash. Watch this car.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Can you play it again?
Yeah.
From the
very beginning. Okay.
Well, like, he's just so caught up in...
Normal day. Regular
gotta
day.
Get my car washed.
Regular day.
I hope they wash my truck tomorrow. I just came... There's two more things I need to put on that list.
And now there's a third thing, and that's clean your underwear.
Right. And there's two, apparently. And your interior. And the thing about that video...
It's insane!
The thing about the video is a car coming the opposite way. I just cleared where that car landed.
Yep.
That white sedan coming the opposite way just went through there.
Can you imagine?
Right? What a lucky shot that would have been. Hit the other car down below.
And if you've ever thought of, like, doing the Dukes of Hazzard move, like, see how this car lands.
Yeah, it lands
nose
first. That's
probably how it's going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's true.
And I freeze-framed it. It's a Toyota Camry.
Which one? The one driving by?
The one sailing.
Okay.
Yep.
That car that drove by and just missed being hit by this flying car. Luckiest person in that state that day.
And probably had no idea it even happened.
Probably no clue.
No clue.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. 911.
I'm glad you said something.
Maybe nobody was in there.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Stop it, Carlos.
Yes, we are on the
Now, where's the kid? I don't hear the kid.
That's the person right in the background going, he just told us stop it. It's not a little kid. It's a kid. It's like a teen.
How do you know?
You can tell by the voice.
Oh. I hear the husband and the wife. What am I missing?
There's a third voice.
Is there?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm.
The one that's freaking out the most.
Oh, my God.
911.
Yeah, there's someone in the back.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like a dog.
Yeah.
How do you know it's a teen, though? It sounds like a 9-year-old to me.
I don't.
AJ's around kids all the time.
I'm just saying the person in the back is not helping the situation.
Right.
They're trying to do the 911 thing. This person's freaking out. You're safe. You're in the back of the vehicle. Nothing's going to happen. Relax. If you're not going to contribute, then shut up.
Okay.
Stop it, Carlos.
Yes, we are on the upstart ramp on Yuba City, and there was a car that fell off the highway.
It didn't fall off. It jumped the whole road.
It's a white car.
It fell off the highway.
Yeah.
It did look like it looked like it was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
I mean, it had some speed, some velocity, some height.
You know, the first, like, 70% of it is, like, a shot from an action movie. And then the last 30% is like, okay, this is real life now.
If you keep on, like, stopping it, as you can watch the trajectory of the car, it just missed a pole. It obviously missed the car that just came through there. Yeah. And there was a whole lot of things it could have hit, and it didn't. And somehow, after landing that way, you know, nose first on its roof.
Mm. Completely totaled.
The guy had minor injuries.
That's wild. Amazing.
I don't know how that's possible. The car is a mess.
In that video, when that car is flying, it looks like a scene from a Quentin Tarantino movie.
It does. Yep.
The camera that they had in the car that was recording this is so clear.
Yeah.
Like, you can't miss a detail. It was better than the camera they had at the Bezos launch yesterday.
Seriously, yeah. Yep.
It took that guy a long time to get out of the truck to run over to see if anyone's hurt.
Right. That driver said, watch this launch.
Highway. It didn't fall off. It jumped the whole road.
It's a white car, I think. I didn't get off because it's on fire.
On fire?
Yes, it is. It's on fire.
Smoking. It wasn't on fire.
That's it?
Yeah.
That was all the clip that we had, yeah.
It flips several times.
Yeah. The video is longer. The video eventually has the guy getting out running
and
over.
And also another bystander. You see a bunch of vehicles coming off the highway heading down to help out. And you see like him and a bunch of other guys walk over there.
Yeah. He said he was afraid to run over there.
Yeah. Cause
no idea what you're going to find.
Exactly. This person's going to have a head, you know.
Is it that? Or you don't know if this guy was running from the cops and may have survived and has a gun?
I'm thinking more along the lines, I don't want to see what this person looks like.
That would definitely not be my first thought.
Yeah.
My instinct, I think, would be, I want to help, but everybody else stay here. I have no idea what we're going to...
This guy's probably pudding in there, yeah.
Pudding.
No pudding. Yep. And somehow, through that, minor injuries. Wow.
That is incredible.
If that doesn't sell that car, that branded car, I don't know what does.
Mm.
Man.
Yeah.
But like I said, you got to see the video.
I've had a car completely off the ground, all four tires, a couple of times, but it's only been for feet.
Yeah.
That thing was like, it looked like 100 yards.
Yeah, he sailed for a while.
That was,
he had plenty of time to go, oh, damn.
Yeah. There was plenty of time to think about it. This is going to suck.
This is not going to end
this
well.
This landing is going to be just. Chaz and AJ.
It was a female driving that car.
Are you sure you're making a joke?
No. I read the thing on TMZ. I saw it Monday, the same thing.
Saw
the dash cam and everything, and it was a female driving it, and she walked away with minor injuries.
That's amazing. What happened? Do we know?
She was trying to text.
Apparently they shifted the road like 12 feet because it showed an overhang, of the highway, and apparently she was just hauling ass and didn't realize it and hit the embankment and shot her over the other side of the highway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, it's an amazing video. Yeah.
It really is.
Almost dropped her beer.
Very excited to have this person on the phone right now. Let me give you the headline, and then we'll talk to one of the big shots behind it. Farm Aid 2021 coming to the Xfinity Theater in Hartford. That's right. That's Farm Aid.
Yes.
This is an annual event that plays all over the country. We were lucky enough to have it in 2018, and now they're back.
Yay.
I must like Connecticut. It's happening September 25th, Xfinity Theater, Hartford. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. You can buy tickets at LiveNation.com, and they range from $65 to $305. On the bill, Willie Nelson, Neil Young, John Mellencamp, Dave Matthews, and much more. On the phone right now is Jennifer Fahey. She's Farm Aid's communications director. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, thanks to you and your organization for thinking Connecticut's a really cool place to come back to. We appreciate it.
We love Connecticut, and we're so glad to be welcomed back by you all.
Now, how much of the ticket price goes to farmers?
Let's see. The organization started in 1985. We have had this festival each year since then. It brings in the majority of the funds that Farm Aid works with. And those funds support a number of things, including our hotline for farmers, which talks each and every day with farmers across the country and directs them to resources, react to a crisis they might be in or a natural disaster, or to help them change their business in some way, maybe access new markets, think about a different way to grow their crops, et cetera.
Oh, that's interesting. So you've created a helpline for farmers.
Yeah.
And that started in 1985. And actually, it wasn't necessarily what was intended. You know, when Willie and Neil and John started this organization, they said, hey, we're musicians. This is what we can do. Let's bring people together, highlight the challenges that farmers are experiencing, and bring some awareness and get Washington to wake up and do something about it. What ended up happening is on the number that was set up to receive donations, we also received calls from farmers, because this was the first time that there was something out there publicizing itself as being for farmers.
Wow.
And so we got the calls. We had to change the number to make it an 800 number. And we've been answering that line ever since.
That is tremendous.
And
that's amazing.
Of course, our artists come every year and play this show on their own dime and recruit their friends. You know, Willie picks up the phone and he says, you know, to any number of artists, why don't you come on down and play Farm Aid? And
yeah, when someone says,
hey, Willie Nelson's on the phone, you want to take it?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Be right there.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in the shower.
You hear footsteps running towards the phone.
I'm all soapy and naked. Don't look.
You get out of the shower for that call.
Right.
But now it's a Zoom call, right? So that's a little dangerous, but still.
You know, Willie is just such a piece of the fabric of American music. It's really just tremendous that he's still touring, one, and two, coming to Connecticut and helping farmers. And then you got Neil Young and John Mellencamp and Dave Matthews. That alone is mind-boggling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then you have a whole day of music.
Yep.
14 acts. How much gear? You know, how much gear? How many trucks
it's
is that?
Lot.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Do some of these, some of these are to share gear, or how does that work?
They don't. They
really?
Don't. Actually, many years ago, when Farm Aid first started, they were on a basically like a record player stage. So the stage was turned.
Oh, Lazy Susan type.
I've seen that.
Yeah, Lazy Susan. That's a good description. What they do now, they call them rolling risers. And all of the equipment is preset on these rolling risers, which are little square pieces. And when the set change begins, our roadies and amazing crew just jump in and start putting those puzzle pieces. First, they have to disassemble the puzzle that's currently on stage from Neil Young's set and move all those. And then they move in all the pieces for Willie's set.
Right.
And all the equipment is right there and ready to go. Our set changes, you know, sometimes we have these large bands, you know, 12 musicians on stage, and then you're transitioning to another band that's large like that. Those set changes can take about 7 minutes. Sometimes,
7 minutes?
Which that's is amazing.
Wow.
Unheard
like,
of.
Like NASCAR, yeah.
Seven.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's like NASCAR, yeah, with those tire changes. It's incredible. It's so good to see. And we have people who sign up every year, like crew that are touring. They're out with the biggest acts across the country.
Yeah.
And they say, make sure you get me on Farm Aid because really I want to be there.
It's the A-team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best of the best.
Wow. I find that just as fascinating and entertaining as the acts, watching those people do those jobs. It's really something
else. Yeah, I would love to set up a time-lapse camera on them. I think it would be really cool.
I say go
for it.
It'd
be a great teaching tool.
I say go for it.
How many trucks is that roll in? And that, does that create a logistical problem? So many semis?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. And the backstage at Xfinity is pretty small. In our 2019 show, I think we were in about the smallest backstage we've been at Alpine Valley in Wisconsin. But we make it work, and we do a lot of staging lots. And we're bringing in TV trucks and satellite trucks because, of course, we'll have a broadcast and people can watch from across the country. But it's cool. We have the best in the business who come each and every year, and they don't necessarily volunteer, but they work for much less than the experience they have is worth.
Yeah, they have to. Have to survive. So that's great. How do you work it with the dressing rooms? Now you have 14 acts. That's way more than 14 performers.
One bathroom.
Right. I have a feeling I'm going to see some of the performers in the men's room changing.
Right.
Like, hey.
Hey, you're John Mellencamp. I could tell by your pants.
Particle Kid. How you doing?
Right. You're Willie Nelson. Yeah. I smelled you. A little pop.
How do you work that out? That just sounds like another big undertaking.
Yeah.
It is. It is. And we do rotate, you know, it's a full day. And so some people are coming in on the early side, some are coming in later. Of course, Willie Nelson never uses a dressing room. He's always on his bus. And so many of the artists, you know, in a typical year, this year is a little bit different because tours aren't necessarily out on the road, although some are. But a lot of them will bring their buses. We bring in extra, you know, those fancy trailer dressing rooms, and bathroom facilities with showers and that kind of thing.
You're
so
moving a city.
Definitely.
You're moving a city into Xfinity.
Right.
Jennifer Fahey's on. She's Farm Aid Communications Director. Farm Aid coming to Xfinity Theater in Hartford Saturday, September 25th. Tickets on sale Friday. I heard the last time Willie's bus was here, there was a lot of smoke coming out of it.
Right. Was it on fire?
We were worried about it. We thought maybe there was a fire in the bus.
Right. Then we got hungry.
Do you know what happened?
It's legal here in Connecticut.
I wouldn't worry about Willie.
Right. Yes. Don't worry about Willie.
That has a t-shirt that says that.
No worry, Willie.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. He's doing okay. At his age, he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. No, you're right. He's earned that right.
Yes, he has.
Okay. So not only is this an amazing music festival, it's also a food festival.
It is, yes. We undertake this great thing called Homegrown Concessions, where we are working with the concessionaire at the venue to substitute some of the ingredients, most all of the ingredients for concessions, to come from local family farms. There's various practices that qualify to be considered part of Homegrown Concessions. So we might have, you know, local, we might have organic, we might have a family farm cooperative. One of the big hits at Farm Aid every year is Patchwork Family Farms. And they were one of the first groups to come in under Homegrown Concessions. They come up every year from Missouri. They're a cooperative of family farmers growing pork in sustainable ways. They rose up initially to fight factory farms that were coming into their state and taking over. And they said, hey, you know, we can't just fight this. We have to offer the alternative. And I'll tell you, their pork chop sandwich is the best thing you will ever taste at any concert.
Oh, yeah. I like this information. The pork chop sandwich.
Yeah. And we have great food for, you know, people who don't eat meat. We last time in Hartford, we had some urban farms that were providing these incredible salad cups for us and fresh fruit and local ice cream. And we even tapped into the seafront, offering some oysters and seafood from the great seafood industry in New England. So lots to choose from. And you might end up meeting the farmer who grew your lunch.
Yep.
That is. Right? There's, you know.
It's great.
Just that is special. And then you got Willie Nelson, Neil Young, John Mellencamp, Dave Matthews, and a bunch of others.
Right.
10 others. Jennifer Fahey, Communications Director with Farm Aid, on the phone. William in Northford.
Yes.
It sounds like you're walking.
How's it going? Right.
Or chewing something.
Yeah.
Riding a horse.
Celery, yes.
William, you're on with Jennifer.
Across the farm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was on the stage with Jennifer last time.
Yeah. That was you?
What, you want?
Yeah,
like, were you pulled off, or you one of those crazy fans,
right,
or
right.
What happened?
Yeah, elaborate.
Were you invited on?
No. I was invited on. They came down and they did an interview, and they invited us on stage for a press conference before the show.
Oh, great. What, you're a local?
Hi, Will.
And then I came, hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Hi, I'm so good.
And
how
then
are you?
I came out a couple of days later.
You two have met. Okay, good.
And you guys had that smell test with Pam.
The smell test?
Hold on.
That was every day around here.
He brought a bunch of vegetables in. We blindfolded her.
Oh, right.
Oh, wow.
And you left a knife here.
AJ sullied one of the cucumbers.
Yeah, I left a knife here.
Yeah.
And AJ took the cucumber.
And I, yeah.
Did all right, William, we want you to come back. And Jennifer, do you remember Will?
Of course I do. Yeah, we just emailed yesterday. Will sent me the most amazing photos from his farm. He's been doing some incredible work to prepare his farm for climate change. And, Will, I'm astounded. You came through ELSA with no flooding. Your tomatoes look incredible. Will is an amazing farmer, and this is the best part of my job. I get to meet these people. When we move this festival around the country, we meet farmers like Will everywhere we go who are total heroes. And it's so good to talk to you.
Hey. This is great.
Hey, nice cucumber.
I love this.
Nice
I have
cucumber.
Chills right now. This is great. I'm so glad you called, Will.
Yes.
We want to do the smell test with Ashley. She doesn't even know what vegetables are.
No, she doesn't.
What's a vegetable?
She's marshmallows. You grow
all right,
those?
Well, hold on one second. Phil's going to grab your number. Anything you want to add, Jennifer, before we go?
I hope that everyone comes down. Tickets go on sale Friday. FarmAid.org is the website for more information. LiveNation.com is the one for tickets. And, come on down to Farm Aid. Meet some folks like Will. Learn who your local farmers are. They're amazing.
Thank you. We hope to talk to you before the show. Yep. And, again, tickets on sale Friday. Farm Aid. How do you put together a comedy special?
How do you do that?
This is a do-it-yourself kit.
Who can we ask?
Put together a comedy special. Comedian Jim Florentine.
Ah, here you go.
Top 1% of all comedians
in
the history of comedy on the show now. And he's doing a brand new comedy special this weekend.
Nice.
It's Saturday at the Fairfield Theater Company. Two shows almost sold out. We're linked up. Where do you begin?
Where do I begin with what?
When you're...
We're off to a good start. Okay, good.
No, this is classic Jim Florentine, not caring about anything right from the beginning.
You have mail?
No, listen, I just didn't... Where did I begin? Like, what?
Yeah.
Building the comedy set that I'm going to do?
Right. Like, if I bought a box, make your own comedy special,
like
and I
open
it up, here's the instructions.
Those in Swedish, right.
All right, what's step one?
It smells fresh.
What's the first thing you do?
Well, you just got to go up on stage at... You know, open mic nights or just whatever, and do like 10-minute sets and just work on new material and start building it from there. Basically from scratch. You start from scratch, almost like a band doing an album.
And you can't tell any of your new stuff from before. It's got to be all brand new.
All fresh.
Yeah, if you filmed it already, it's got to be brand new. If it's not out there on an album or a comedy special or film, then you can pretty much do it. But, yeah, you don't repeat the material.
Yeah, it'd be like Ozzy putting Crazy Train on a brand new album.
Right.
It's you already released that song.
Yeah, with Oz, we think you forgot, though. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim Florentine, by the way, is on Ozzy's Boneyard.
Yeah.
On Sirius XM.
Yep.
Is it still Sirius XM, or is it just Sirius now?
No, it's still Sirius XM.
Yep.
Oh, okay. All right, so let's
see. You basically start from scratch, you know, almost like a band, writing songs, coming up with stuff, and, you know, you just build it from there. You usually do, you know, and then, but as you're building it, it takes time, and you know, you got to take chances up there, and you got to bomb a bunch of nights because they're just staring at you. Like, what? No matter how long you think you're doing this, and I'm sure George Carlin even went through it. You think he wrote something, and you go, all right, I'm going to try it tonight. This is going to be great. This is going to be my new favorite bit, and the crowd just stares at you. So you just never know until you put it in front of a live audience.
Right. When you yell at them, give them the fingers, they F you and walk off. You but people don't know comedy.
When that happens, you don't ditch it. You just think it needs to be retooled.
Right. A little more spicy.
I usually give it three times before I get rid of it. If it doesn't work three times in a row in the beginning, then it's no good. Ah. Sometimes it needs to be retooled, or maybe you didn't deliver it right, or it wasn't confidence, or it wasn't a great crowd. So I usually try it three times.
Yeah. Right. Could be crowd, could be delivery, could be confidence level in it.
All those things.
So sometimes you'll reword it. It's funny how just
a couple of words really throws it off.
You hear the same joke told by two different people. Right. One person could tell a joke, and then another person screws the whole thing up. It's like, yeah.
Or the inflection in your voice, how you say it, you know?
And, you know, it's another weird thing is if I'm trying new material, I always try within, like, the first, like, 7 minutes of the show because if you have material that works and it's honed and it works every time, the crowd can almost sense it. If you're 30 minutes into your set and you're trying new material, they're like, wait a minute, this doesn't – because it's not 100% honed. They could feel like this is new and it's just not worked out.
Oh. Okay.
So I do it right off the top, off the bat, and then I'll just get it out of the way so they don't know and just feel, all right, good, now I can move on. Now I know I don't have to worry about the crowd staring at me after, like, 30 minutes.
That's like being in battle. We'll try hand-to-hand, and if that doesn't work, I'll pull the gun.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really weird how that works, but I always do it right up front, like, get it out of the way.
That's good to know.
Early. Because it almost can't follow the hone stuff. Like, it's almost like, you know, Ozzy doing Crazy Train. It's tough to follow that song with a new song.
Right.
I always want, you know, bands do that. They'll open up with a brand new song. I'm like, wow.
What the hell
just
is this?
Hit me with a hit right off the bat.
I was going to go to bed.
But that makes sense.
Yeah,
it's better. Some bands always say it's better to get the new one. They'll do like two new songs and they'll open up with one because the crowd's so excited that they hit the stage that they'll go, okay, no problem. They're not going to go, I'm going to go get a beer.
Yeah. And you can fall back on the good stuff later.
Yeah, exactly. Get the new one out of the way.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
There is so much going on in a comedian's mind when you're on. It's almost like a drummer where you have to separate all your limbs and you're independently thinking.
Like my fly up. That's the worst.
You're delivering the material. You're sensing the crowd. You're seeing what's going on in the room. And then you're also thinking about what's coming next.
Yeah.
And how long you should pause.
Your mind's going to the negative. Okay, coming up after this,
I'm interviewing Jim here.
Right.
All right, good.
No, it's true. And then also, you know, you're almost like Peyton Manning on the, you know, up there. Remember when Peyton would be at the line and he'd be calling a different play and pointing and doing this and that because he saw the defense. So you're almost doing that too. If you have like a weird crowd, you have to make adjustments. Like, all right, this stuff is too dirty to do right off the top. They're not really going for it or too edgy. So let me do some more nicer stuff. Let them get it to know me. And then I can hit them with this stuff. So you're constantly making adjustments up there a lot of the times too if the crowd's weird.
Oh, yeah, you definitely got to do that. Yep. Got nip and tuck over here.
That's right.
Right.
And then you also have to stay in the moment with the bit that you're doing, you know, so the crowd buys it.
Yep, totally. Yep. The entire time. You got to sell, man. You got to sell constantly. Boom.
Omaha.
It's all about AJ.
We need a new one, so I'm going to put my foot so far up your ass. I'm going to touch your lungs.
That's interesting. So all brand, is that a little unnerving or have you been doing this now in other places? Because when the cameras are on, you want to have it feel like it's honed.
No, it's the whole other level once you're filming because you got two shows to get it done and it's, you know, you're nervous. Yeah. Because, you know, most of the time you're just slugging out in clubs and no one really, you know, people are there, but it's not being filmed. Everything's got to be perfect on these. So yeah, there is definitely some, you know, you worry about it. You definitely do. But if you do, I know I've done them before. If you do two shows in one night, because then you could take material from both shows. You wear the same outfit just in case you have to, you know. And if you do the first show
Hold
goes
it.
Well.
What if you sweat profusely?
Right?
Throw in the washer.
And the beginning of the show, you have a joke where your armpits are sweaty. And then at the end, your shirt seems dry.
You bring two of the same shirts.
Two of the same shirts.
Oh, okay.
I got two black plain T-shirts from Old Navy ready to go.
That works. Old Navy's the best. No pit stains.
Oh, it's so fascinating.
Yeah, so you wear those two. So, you have two, and you wear them just in case you have to cut through. But if you do well the first show, then the pressure's all off for the second show. You're almost way more relaxed and... You know, but if you don't nail it the first show, you really got pressure to get it done the second show.
Right. I remember when Van Halen came to New Haven Coliseum with Sammy Hagar
to make a
movie, Live Without a Net. They did that. They played two nights in a row, wore the same clothes. Jimmy Coplick, the promoter, had to bring their clothes to a cleaner and say, I need these back for the
Pronto.
Next day. And
yes.
I thought one either got almost lost or there was almost a problem. How do you pick out what you're going to wear on stage?
You just kind of like, I don't know.
Care.
I don't spend too much time on it, but you can. I know I can't wear like a Black Sabbath T-shirt because of, I don't know, some kind of rights or something.
Right.
So you can't really wear a logo thing where you could run into a problem down the line. So you just kind of do something plain.
Do you know what you're wearing Saturday night?
Yeah, black T-shirt that I got at Old Navy. I got two of them.
Oh, were you serious?
Yeah.
$8 a piece.
That was like, I got this.
Exactly right. No expensive. Low overhead.
All right, that's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's what I got. Low overhead. Like, why? Absolutely. Why get dressed up? I wouldn't go out there with a sports jacket on or something because I never wear that. Like, you always have to be comfortable with what you usually wear on stage. That could throw you off, too.
Right. Like a cod piece, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you done those television talk shows or whatever, you know, TV things where you thought, oh, man, they're getting the comedians so far out of their comfort zone and making them something else. It's killing the comedy.
I've done a couple of them, but the two I did, Craig Kilborn, remember when he had his late night show?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Loved him.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He was great. He was great. I wore a Black Sabbath T-shirt on that show to do stand-up. He didn't care. He's like, do whatever. He goes, I don't even want to look at your material. I trust you're funny, and I trust you're a comic. If we have to cut it, we'll cut it. If you want, you know, you need some notes before, if this is going to pass, let me know, which is great. And I did George Lopez's late night talk show. Remember his show?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was the same thing. Do whatever you want. I don't care. So those are, and Jimmy Kimmel I did a few times, but I sat on the couch. I didn't actually do stand up on there, so I never had to worry about Letterman or Leno wearing a sports jacket or, you know, a tie or any of that stuff.
Kimmel had to be a different level, though, right? Like in terms of material, did they ask you, let's see your jokes? We got to go run them past the censors.
Well, Kimmel was, you know, I was friends with Kimmel, or still I know him and stuff because of Crank Anchors. So when his show first went on the air, they couldn't get any guests because he was the new guy, and they were all the Tonight Show and Letterman. They were all banning the guests from going on Kimmel because he was going on at the same time. He was on at like midnight, so it was a half hour air time. So he needed guests all. So I went on like four times in the first year and a half.
Nice.
They would call me like, hey, could you be out here on Friday? We'll fly you out. We need a guest. I'm like, yeah. And I would just, we'd just go on panel. I'd sit on the couch with them, and we'd talk. Like, Jim did this thing on a hidden camera DVD where he went to an all-you-eat buffet and pulled his chair right up to the buffet. So we talk about stuff like that, but it was almost like stand-up, but sitting on the couch with them.
Jim Florentine is on. He's at Fairfield Theater Company for two shows Saturday, filming his next special, so you could be that person in the crowd.
Exactly.
Especially if you have a distinctive laugh. Jim wants you to sit close.
They love that. He loves that.
Now, do you go longer each night and then, so you can edit that down so you have more material to choose from?
No, it's pretty much.
Oh.
Yeah, whatever the set's going to be, that's it. Yeah.
How long are you going?
Right about an hour.
Okay.
55 minutes to an hour.
Cool.
And then have you tested your closer in clubs?
Yeah.
Okay, you like it?
Yeah, it works. Yeah.
Oh, that's
it's great. Filthy and it works.
It's be a T-shirt. It's filthy and it works.
That is a great T-shirt.
And it starts at 9 on Saturday, right?
No, 7 and 9:30.
Okay, 7 and 9:30. Okay. And then what time do you go on?
Don Jameson's on the show. He's opening the show, so he's doing 15 minutes, and then I'm on.
Okay, so just get there.
Yeah.
You know, if your ticket says 7, get there at 7. What is it?
Yeah, show's starting right at 7.
Exactly.
I'm on at 7:15.
Yeah.
Because they got to clear the room to do the second show and all that stuff, so they're not playing games.
Right. Oh, man. I love this. So I got a thing on Saturday, but I'll be out by like 9:15 and in Bridgeport. So I'm going to drive right up and hopefully get... I hope I'm not that guy.
You're the one showing up...
Yeah, thanks for being here on time, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm walking, then right. I hit a whatever, glass drop over. Something.
Son of a bitch, really?
It's like, and then the whole room just looks over like, really?
He's late, and he wore the same shirt as me.
That's that guy Chaz, that morning show on PLR, that bastard ruined everything.
Colin Quinn did something there, and I was close. I was up front. I laughed so freaking hard, he looked at me like, shut up.
When he throws his towel over your face, shut up.
Yeah, it's like, you're annoying. Just shut up.
Here's my water.
Yeah, I'm going to bounce my water bottle off your head in a second.
Yeah. Okay, I got it. I'm funny. All right, shut up.
Shut up.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited, man. I hope you can make the show. Yeah, because I won't be out. Yeah, I'll be on at like 9:45.
Oh, I'll be there.
Second show.
Oh, no, we'll be there. Absolutely. The amphitheater's having like a VIP kind of like, let's take a look at this place, get the new car smell,
right.
You know?
Everybody drink it in.
Walk around and, they asked me to speak there. So I'll be introducing Howard, the big guy. And then off to see Jim Florentine tape a comedian special.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, good night there.
Yeah.
Good night there.
Is there a name for this special yet? Or do you edit it and then take a look at it and say, this is what we'll call it?
I'm still toying around. I try to have a theme. Like the last one I did was all about my divorce, and I called it I Got the House.
I call this two black T-shirts and Old Navy.
I was talking to Jim about this.
Maybe. Because I was saying about my divorce, it went through some crap with it or whatever. It was public.
The crowd
would feel bad for me. So my tagline was, come on, please, I got the house, relax. So, it was almost like Rodney, I get no respect. So I said I had to throw that in there just to lighten the mood of that. When I was starting to work in the material, I'm like, look, I got the house. Like, if you're a dude in the audience and you got the house and a divorce, you're like, all right, hey, what are you complaining about?
So I just
wanted to let the audience know I'm not really complaining, but, you know, don't feel bad for me. I got the house.
You got the house.
See, that's the science of comedy. You needed the I got the house in there to let people laugh. Because if not, they're like, this poor guy, he got so screwed.
Right.
Yeah, to soften it up. Absolutely. Yeah. And it worked. It was just I'd throw it in whenever I needed it.
I love it.
That's great.
Well, there's a couple tickets left, and if you want to be part of a big-time comedian comedy special, and it's right in Fairfield, which is a great place for comedy, Fairfield Theater Company, we're linked up on the radio station website. Jim Florentine, 7 and 9:30. Tickets are only $25. Yep. What the hell can you do for that and be part of the special? $25.
It's
Jim.
Where
are you going to go?
Just freaking go.
All right, we're going to play AC/DC. Do you have an AC/DC story before we go here, Jim?
An AC/DC story.
Have you ever met them?
The band, we mean, yes.
We had Brian Johnson and Angus on that metal show one season, so I did meet them. Brian Johnson came out a couple more times, so I met Angus once, but I'm a huge AC/DC fan. I remember, I'm probably like 14, 15 years old. My parents somehow let me and my friends go to New York City, take the train from New Jersey to go see AC/DC play in the Palladium, and I think Def Leppard was opening.
Wow.
And I saved up all my money. I was washing dishes like $3.35 an hour, I think was the minimum wage then.
That much, huh?
Yeah. And I bought like 6 AC/DC concert shirts because I wanted to buy every one they had. I saved up all my money for after the show to buy them all. And we were walking back to the Port Authority, and these 3 guys mugged us.
Oh, God.
And took our shirts.
See, they did not save their money, those bastards.
I just remember they were Latino guys, like, you know, in their 30s. And I'm yelling as they're just walking away. I'm like, what are you guys going to do with those shirts? Because right. There's no way they like that music. It wasn't other big metalheads.
Right.
Which is a trend now. People wear these classic rock band shirts, and they don't even know what the classic rock band. You ask them, what song?
Right.
Name 3 songs.
Drew Barrymore's wearing a Slayer shirt. Yeah, okay, yeah, I'm sure you listen to Slayer.
They were going to sell them to you around the corner later on. You know these fit? I got them from you.
Before you said the shirts got stolen, I said, you know, it would be hysterical if you wore one of those shirts on stage because it wouldn't fit properly now.
No. They don't even, there'd be a half shirt.
Right.
Cropped up.
No, I just remember, and I was like, I talked back to them as they were walking away because they weren't running from us. We were little kids.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where are you going to wear those shirts? I was fascinated.
The other day we were talking about Popeye's favorite food. It was the dumbass in the Canadian Family Feud.
Right.
And it was 100 people surveyed, one answer on the board. All 100 people said the same answer. They asked the woman, name Popeye's favorite food. And she said, Chicken.
Wrong.
So but now, funny.
Who's the dumbass? The person who emailed Phil, or there'll be another person who presents themselves.
Oh, okay.
All right, so Phil gets an email.
Yeah. It was from a listener. Thank you, by the way, for listening to the show and for emailing us. We always appreciate that.
But
explaining why this was funny. Well, you know, she might have said chicken because of Popeye's chicken. So if you don't know the cartoon, that's probably why she said yes. Yes.
No.
That is why
that makes
she probably
sense.
Said chicken.
That makes sense.
Here's the other person that could be the dumbass in the story.
Okay.
I didn't put that together.
Oh, really?
What do you mean? Are you serious?
Neither did I. I didn't put Popeye's chicken either.
I was like, why did she say chicken? Right. Yeah, we just had a good time.
Right.
Are you serious?
Because we know the cartoon. The cartoon eats spinach.
Yeah, Popeye's chicken.
Right.
I didn't put the restaurant in there at all.
When the email,
I went cartoon only.
When you said the email, and you had some sarcastic tone.
I said, in case anyone needed the joke explained.
I did.
Really?
Hang on. I got to type back something.
That one I got.
Why? No, I think this is worthy of being laughed at.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't put the restaurant together. I took a
I didn't either.
With the cartoon. Everybody knows that Popeye eats spinach. But why would Popeye restaurant, why would their favorite food be chicken? Maybe they don't like hamburgers, their workers. They're tired of chicken. They see chicken all the damn time.
And I thought I was going to be the dumbass here.
I'm not being a dumbass. If you work at a chicken restaurant, do you want to eat chicken every day? No. You want something different than chicken, you're sick of chicken.
But the question wasn't name Popeye's employee's favorite food.
Right. It was Popeye, the cartoon character. That's what it was. So stop hemorrhaging over there, Sina.
I did not think this would
I've
take.
Asked her not to laugh at you because you get angry. So right. When she does laugh, she can't help it.
Right.
Kevin in Weathersfield sent this email, by the way. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin. Tribe member Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin, for starting this crap.
So what are you trying to say here?
Nothing anymore. At some point, it's got to
No,
give
I'm
up.
With you. We're both dumbasses, but I think you protected
me. No, we're not dumbasses
me.
Because what happens is it all depends upon who you ask. Now, obviously, the question was geared towards the cartoon character, which would be spinach. They would not be saying to people, what's Popeye's favorite food? Chicken, me, in the restaurant. So all those people said spinach, all said they were all took it as the cartoon character, not the restaurant. This lady is a complete dumbass who said, chicken! She probably works at Popeye's. You want to get my order wrong. Yes, when I said soda, I meant in the cup, jackass. Why are you holding your nose? Are you farting your laugh?
I'm trying so hard not to laugh.
But I'm just saying, we're not the dumbasses here. We're like the other 100 people. So 102 people got Popeye, the cartoon character.
I popped my ears.
Is any brain fluid left?
So.
Chicken.
So. Who's, I was going to say I was the dumbass in the story, but I think AJ.
No.
He laughed you at the end there.
I know. I totally explained it properly. 100 people were surveyed. 100 people said spinach. So therefore, this question was guaranteed about the cartoon character and not the restaurant that gets my crap wrong all the time. That's why I stopped going there. You people can't get it right.
Those chicken sandwiches are delicious, by the way.
I don't care. I'll get it someplace else.
AJ, listening to you try to explain this, I understand why your order is always wrong.
How could you get it wrong when you say a number, jackhole?
Because you're trying to explain something simple is confusing me.
Yeah, I still don't know what you're trying to say.
How do you guys not know what the F I'm saying over here? 100 Okay, let me talk slowly so you guys understand, okay? 100 people were surveyed.
Yeah. 100 people
said
the same way.
Spinach. Right. Therefore, the question was geared towards the Popeye cartoon character, not the restaurant that gets things wrong.
But what you're saying is, what you're trying to say is, it was obvious to everybody, 100 people,
that it was Popeye
the cartoon
character.
Like, no one screwed that one up. They
exactly.
knew who
right.
Popeye.
Right.
I'm drooling.
You must want a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
So that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Clear as glass.
Oh, my God.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.